We have the privilege of hearing from Miss Amy this morning. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for her, and then we will hear the word. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you so much for my sister. God, you are so faithful, and I thank you for the ways that you have been faithful, the specific ways you have been faithful in her life. I thank you for the word that you have laid on her heart this morning. And so now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would quiet every nerve, that you would fill her to full and overflowing, that she would speak powerfully and prophetically every word you have given her to say. And I ask, God, that even as she ministers to us, that you would be ministering to her, and that you would revive her again, Lord, and restore to her everything that she has poured out and will pour out. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
All right, I think I turned this thing on, or am I good? All right. Thank you for this opportunity. Actually, Pastor David called me or texted me, I think, and I'm like, okay, oh no, okay. You know, like, yes, but oh no, kind of thing. And then he said, well, you could do something that you've done before, you know, so there's a little less. I'm like, no, give me something, you know, I kind of want to lean into what I'm supposed to be trying to learn. So he gave me this scripture that's in the lectionary for today, and I told a friend about it, and she's like, that's kind of random. But do you know that there's no random scripture, and there is no random scripture? And so it does feel a little, well, let's jump in. I hearken back to a day when you had to dial the phone. That was probably when I was really little. So I do remember the punch ones, but people would call and you had to recognize their voice. So I confess, I remember like saying, hey, how's it going? To get them to say more, because I hadn't quite know who it was yet. So just keep talking and I'll figure it out in a minute. But there were some people that called as soon as they said hello, right? I knew their voice. There's people that you talk to. It's true still today. It's just that you cheat. You know their name comes up. And you're like, hey, right? So it's not the same. But you get the idea, right? You know their voice. And the better you know them, the better you know their voice. You know it's them. And so we're going to look at a scripture today that God has shown me this week, just how much he speaks. And I'm not sure, like, that would be, like, this is actually a scripture that I usually kind of skirt over. It's kind of got some miraculous stuff in it, and I believe the miraculous stuff, but I just kind of keep going in it. And I had to sit in it because it was the scripture that Pastor David gave me. So I think he has something to say to us this morning. So I know you prayed for me, but can we pray again? Never can pray too much, right? Jesus, here we come to hear from you. Would you speak? We know you speak. Would you speak to our hearts? Would you speak your wisdom and your word? Yeah, fill this place up with yourself, Lord. Amen. So the context for what's happening here, we're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 17. And what's happening in this, right before the section that we're going to look at today, is that it's a really bad section. All right, there's all these kings that are not doing what they're supposed to do. So this king didn't do what he was supposed to do, and then this king. And so right before our section, it says, and here's Ahab. And now, here's the two quotes. It says, in verse 30, it says, he did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. Whew. And then another one, did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than did all the kings of Israel before him. So it's a messed up time in Israel and a messed up king. And then Elijah shows up on the scene. We don't know a whole lot about, he's just there and he's speaking the word and says, it's not going to rain. It's not going to rain till I say so. And he's, you know, speaking for God. So it's not going to rain. And that... And then he says, Elijah, I need you to go over here and hide. I don't know why he's hiding, but he tells Elijah very specifically, go here, you're going to drink out of the brook, and I'm going to tell the ravens to feed you. And sure enough, ravens come and bring him bread and meat twice a day. What? All right, so this has just happened, right? And then it hasn't rained, right? So what happens to the brook? Runs out of water. And this is where we take off in the scripture today. So if you are able and you can stand while I read his word this morning, it is 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I might have a drink? And as she was going to get it, he called and said, and please bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread. Only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug, olive oil. Now I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You can sit down. So there's a lot of cool stuff in here, right? That's what I mean, like the miraculous stuff. You're like, oh, yeah, and you just kind of keep going. And then there's more miraculous stuff in the Old Testament. But what struck me this week is that God speaks to us. God speaks to us. We have a God that communicates with us. He's in relationship. He wants relationship, and he's communicating with us. So let's go back through that scripture, and let me just point out, kind of looking at it in the frame of that God speaks, okay? Verse 8 starts out with, the word of the Lord came to him. What on earth does that mean? Do you know what that means? The word of the Lord came to him. Now, there's a bunch of different ways in Scripture that God speaks to people. He actually audibly tells Samuel, hey, Samuel. He tries to wake him up, and Samuel thinks it's Eli. There are people, dreams. There are all kinds of ways. I kind of tend to think most of God's communication with us is kind of in the realm of our thoughts. Now, I don't know. I'm not saying this is how Elijah heard it. But that tends to be how I feel like God usually communicates and why it's hard to know that it's God speaking to us. All right. So he says, the word of the Lord came to him. And it's a very specific word, right? Go to this specific place and to this woman, to a widow, and I'm taking care of you. Then in verse 9, he continues what his direction to Elijah, but he actually says, I have directed, I have instructed. Some of the translations said commanded, which I don't really get, but a widow to take care of you. I have directed. That's communication, isn't it? I have directed a widow. Now, do you remember the story? The widow did not say, Elijah, hey, what's up? Come on, I made a turkey. Let's go, let's eat. She did not know what was going on. She didn't know that God had directed her to take care of Elijah. She did not know. Did he not? He did speak. All right, she just didn't know it. And so God spoke to Elijah, very specific place, and then God spoke to this widow somehow. You know what I'm saying? We can't be specific, all right? But he spoke to the widow. And then Elijah gets up and goes to that specific place. And if he didn't, then kind of end of story, right? So there's a God speaking to Elijah, telling about speaking to the widow, And then Elijah actually goes, a response to what God says. Or that's kind of the end of the narration. There is no rest of the story. And he gets there, and she's in a bad place, isn't she? I'm not a parent, just an aunt, and I cannot imagine. This was not the only day that this mother thought about her and her son are dying, right? If your food's running out, you've been thinking about that for 4 months. I don't know, 4 years, whatever. I don't know what this, but you know, really bad situation. And here comes somebody into town and says, could I get a glass of water? And she's the hospitable type. And she says, starts going to get him a water. And he's like, wait, could I get some bread too? Now, come on. You're that widow. In the situation we know she's in. That's a bad situation. And so this is what she says. She says, look, I swear by your God, I don't have anything. Now, I think she swears by his God because, I don't know, maybe he recognizes something. Maybe she knows he's an Israelite and knows a little bit about the God of, but her God is not doing squat, which is kind of the point of the judgment of no rain. Because Baal, who's kind of the chief of this country, supposed to be the fertility god and the rain god and all this stuff. So people, I'm guessing, in her town have been crying out to Baal and saying, hey, we need the rain. It's a little hard for us to kind of connect to it because, you know, we go to the store and buy stuff, right? It doesn't have to rain. If my garden in my backyard, I love eating out of that, but if it doesn't provide me with anything, I still, as you can tell, get plenty to eat, right? I am not starving, but she was in that situation. That was her situation. And he says, after that, he says, don't be afraid. Make me a cake. Make your one for your son. And the Lord, the God of Israel, says your oil and your flour is not going to run out until it rains. Now, we know from the New Testament that rain, it was like 3.5 years. That's a lot of flour and oil, right? So that's a very cool miracle. But what was, we remember that God communicated, said he directed the widow. I kind of am thinking that maybe that direction was, you can trust me. Like this quiet little, I got this kind of thing. So that she could go and make the cake and believe him. Because you don't, I don't know if I'd have gone. I mean, I guess if you're going to die anyway, maybe. Sorry, that's really not saying much about my faith. But you know what I'm saying? I'm like, really? My last meal with my son? And her heart's been breaking about that for who knows, we don't know how long, but you know, especially if you're a parent, how long their heart's been breaking. And that's the situation. So God spoke to Elijah where he was. He spoke somehow to the widow. And then he spoke through Elijah to the widow. And there is all kinds of cool, miraculous stuff. But the thing that kept, like, just jumping at me was he spoke. He speaks. He's communicating. He is a God that communicates. He speaks to us. Now, I'm guessing, and maybe I'm just projecting because this is me, is that there's some yeah, buts in your spirit. Like, yeah, but that was Elijah, Amy. You know, he's a prophet. There must be something special about him that he hears. And so I want to think about that a little bit. In James, it actually says, Elijah was just a man like us. So that book tells us a little bit there. But his name means, my God, the Lord is my God. Now, what parent names their kid, the Lord is my God, if they don't know God? You do not name your kid Elijah, right? I mean, and our naming is a little more, depending on the culture from, a little bit more like, oh, I like that name, or I'm named after my uncle or something. But it was very important then. So this parent named him, the Lord is my God. What does that tell you about his growing up? We don't know anything. This is all me guessing, right? We don't know anything. He just kind of shows up at the beginning of this chapter. I think he grew up in a house that knew the covenant God, who knew how God wanted him to live. He walked in it. And then part of that was hearing God. The other thing that kind of surprised me is he just goes, right? God says this, and Elijah went. God says go, Elijah went. There was no, wait, what? Or, you know, there was no hesitation. Like Paul, when he gets knocked off the horse in the New Testament, he's like, is that you, Lord? Elijah's not going, is that you? He knows it's God. He recognizes the voice of God. Which seems like we can't connect to that. But I want us to connect to that this morning. There is nothing special about Elijah. And don't hear me dissing Elijah. I love Elijah, right? But he is not special. He obeyed. He got in the habit of listening and asking God. And then he actually did what God told him to do. So it wasn't about Elijah. It was about how cool our God is, that he speaks to us. He speaks to us. That's crazy. And we kind of have an added advantage over Elijah because we have the Holy Spirit living in us, right? It all happened because Jesus was willing to give his son, and then what? We have the Spirit of Christ in us. That we got to be able to hear a little bit that way. So the other yeah, but I was thinking was yeah, but I kind of relate to the widow. I don't even know that God is communicating. And I think that's actually more true of us. Like, I don't think it's that God isn't speaking and we're not hearing. I actually think that it's that we are not aware. Now, I want to become more aware. I don't want it to be kind of sideways. Let me give you an illustration, a sad illustration from my life. No. So, I love to boogie board. I was lucky enough when I was in high school that my dad was stationed in Hawaii. And so boogie boarding, that's my happy place. If I could be doing it for Jesus, no. You know what I'm saying? That could be my job. No. But I love boogie boarding. So our whole family went to this beach that is not for boogie boarding. It is really not safe to boogie board there. If you're a surfer and you know how to surf, you can go in that surf. Well, my dad and I, come on, let's go out there. My dad, my brother, and my mom, just to give them credit, they said, no way, we'll sit right here. Now, if I was really giving them credit, they would have, like, held us. Because it was really stupid. No, seriously stupid for us to go out there. And, in fact, I never even got far enough out to catch a wave because I kept getting, like, beat back. And I tried. And, well, this one time, this wave came and exploded on top of me. I don't know how big it was, but it felt like, and I didn't know which way was up. I seriously did not know which way to swim toward air. And I had this thought, just float, because you're going to float up, and then you'll be all right and get out of the water. I thought I was brilliant. That's a brilliant idea I just had there in the middle of my exploding waves all around me. Well, it had to be at least 15 years. That's why it's a sad story. For me to recognize that was actually the voice of God to me. I was in worship. There was a song. I can't remember what it was. But I was having a conversation with God and saying, Lord, I can't relate to that. And he said, boom. You know that time? You know that time? That was me that said that. So he can be telling us stuff, and we don't even know it's him. That's crazy. And I don't think that's where he wants us to always be, but how gracious of him. I could have just not even been there. But it took like 15 years, so that's why. Yeah. So you get my point. So we cannot be aware. So kind of like the widow, right? Or we can be very aware, like Elijah. And I would say I tend toward the widow, but I want to move toward Elijah, right? I want to move toward where he says, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But I want to emphasize or set a foundation, I guess, for this, that God communicates with us. Because there's a way that we think, yeah, but God, big, huge, whatever, me, little, you know? There's just a way that we don't want to. But look at, then this is like just a few representative scripture. The whole Bible is full of him communicating. So I recommend you read again and see all the places. Okay, but here's just a few. In Exodus 29, he's setting up the nation of Israel, and he says, I'm going to dwell right in the middle of them. The tabernacle set up here, and there's tribes here, 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 and here. He's right in the middle of them. He's not far away. He's in the middle of us. So it's not a distance thing. And then in Psalm 23, we were just studying that in Bible study this past week. Plug for Bible study. We'd love to have you join us. So Thursday night at 7, be there. Don't be square. I mean, whatever. Come. We'd love to have you. But talking about the good shepherd, right? And if you jump to John 10, Jesus himself is saying, I am that shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They are familiar enough with me to hear and know that it's me. And then in Matthew 1, he quotes Isaiah, where Jesus is described as Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means, right? Remember that tabernacle right in the middle? God with us. It's a relationship that we have. And any good relationship, got to be some communication, right? There's got to be some back and forth. There's got to be that kind. And then Romans 8, I'll just end there because it just kind of seals it. Nothing can separate us. Nothing. So he wants to be in the midst of us. He speaks and we can know his voice. And then nothing can take us out of his hand. Perfect place to sit to be able to hear God, right? And I think part of my reading, I was reading with a book by Dallas Willard that's called Hearing God. And one of the things that he said about hearing God is that, or his definition really of God's purpose for us is to live our lives the way Jesus would live our lives if he were us. So we're not supposed to live Jesus' life. He was a carpenter, right? Right. We're supposed to live our lives the way Jesus would live it if he were us. And so that's God's purpose. He's trying to grow us up. So this hearing thing's got to grow up, right? We got to grow up in hearing God. So that's kind of what just kept slamming on me this week. So let's assume that God is speaking. Let's default to the fact that God is speaking. So either I'm missing it, don't even know what's happening, right? Or I'm just not in a place where my ears are tuned. Because there's a bunch of stuff that we can choose instead of listening to God, right? So that's kind of where, yeah, where God punched my gut this week in terms of listening. So on that end of don't even know, last week, Rashana came up to me during fellowship time and asked me how stuff was going with this project that I have. And it was not happening. So I was kind of like, you know. And she said, you know, sometimes the slow process, I'm not wording it correctly, but basically she said, you know, sometimes it's going in the slow and God's all in that too. So she spoke God's word to me that last Sunday. But she didn't know it, did you? See? Somebody come to mind this week? They don't randomly come to mind. No, do not believe that. I'm going to pray for that person that comes to mind. If God wants to be specific and tell me, call them, send them an email. Look at this scripture, Amy, that scripture, that one right there. Send that to somebody. If he's going to get specific, well, then that's good. But even if not, let's assume it's God. Now, not everything's God. We know that, right? But you can kind of evaluate it. Is it going to be encouraging to somebody? Is it going to help them believe God more? Is it going to help them know that God sees them? Chances are it's God. Now, I have a story where, because I was like all into this. Yeah, when I first read this book, Hearing God, I'm going to hear God. And so I had this thought. Yeah, my illustrations are really sad on my side. But so I had this thought. Somebody at Panera is named Susan, and I'm supposed to buy her lunch. Because I'm trying to hear specifics, you know? Holy cow. You know, that's a little unnerving. Okay, so, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. Go into Panera. Now, Susan over there is thinking, oh, I should have gone to Panera that day. She would have had a free lunch. And so I'm like, how do you find out if people's name's Susan? Like, what? And so I just kind of said, hey, anybody in line named Susan? I actually did that. Nobody was named Susan. But you know what? I think the father was smiling. Like, oh, Amy. Well, I'm going to have to teach you a little more about hearing me. But at least you gave it a shot, right? And you know, have you heard some stories? I've heard of stories that people got a name, got some very specific stuff, and God worked it out. So I'm not saying that doesn't happen. I'm just saying I was like trying to make it happen. I'm going to hear God. Better, I think, approach is, God, I know you're speaking. And I want to set my heart in a way that I can actually hear you speak. So that might, I think that looks different for everybody. What gets in the way of me hearing God? It's different for every single person. For me right now, so I get done with school, and all during school I'm thinking, all right, God, this semester, tell me what I'm going to do. Okay, this semester, Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? It happened every semester until school was out. And then I still didn't feel like I knew what God wanted. And this week, God was saying, see, it's weird to say that. God was saying, I think I was saying, I showed you a property halfway through seminary. And I started you dreaming on something. And I'm thinking, wow. What if this is God? I've been asking it for a while. What if this is God? But what I want from him is the writing on the wall, right? Yeah. I want, but he wants me to trust him. Yeah. Like, I kind of want to hedge my bets, right? And he wants me to learn how to step out in faith. Yeah. I want to kind of protect myself. I don't want to embarrass myself. Anybody here named Susan? That's embarrassing. People turn around. And then I actually told somebody in line. So I felt like God told me that I was supposed to buy them. And they said, oh, I wish my name was Susan. I should have said, oh, I'll just buy it for you. I just probably heard the name wrong or something. But I want to protect myself, and he wants me to be who he designed me to be in his kingdom. It's going to look different for all of us. You are not supposed to look like me. I am not supposed to look like you. If that is a lie of the enemy, that whole thing where we say, that's what I want to be, God. I like how she is, or I want to do what he does, or why can't I? No. No. Hear God say who you are. Figure out who you are. And figure out what he's saying to you. Because he's got something for every one of us to do in his kingdom. I want the easy way. He wants to give me the easy yoke. Right? It's not hard. But it's a yoke. It's a something to do for him. I want the message. Shout it out clearly. Just say everything very clearly. And he wants me to know his whisper. And he wants me to know even more so his heart, because then I know when he whispers. There's a quote that Dallas Willard has in his book, and I'll give you the page if it's something that speaks to you. Let me read it to you. God's whole purpose is to bring us to the point where he can walk with us quietly, calmly, and constantly, leaving us space to grow to be his often fumbling co-laborers, to have some distance from him and yet be united with him because we are being conformed to the image of his son, bearing the family resemblance. And Dallas Willard actually makes the point in the book that kind of the more dramatic it is, the less mature we are. He kind of has to be a little more drastic, right? Paul was going in the wrong direction. knocked him off the horse. I do not want to get knocked off my, well, I don't have a horse. That's not how I want to hear God. I want to figure out how to do it daily. And I want you to assume this week that he is speaking to you. I want you to assume it. It's happening. He's a communicating God. We're in a relationship with him. He is speaking. And we're going to get better at hearing. The point of, yeah, but how do I know it's God? Experience. Right? Life. So I got a little more life than you, but you can tell from my illustrations, not that far along the hearing God. Right? So I'm still hanging out with the widow. Another illustration during seminary. It is all consuming. All you're doing is reading and writing, and you feel like, y'all know, school, whatever. Your life is probably that too. So I'm just giving you my experience. And I was walking one day, and I'm like, God, but yeah, what can I do? Come on. I'm just tired of reading and writing paper. What can I do? You know, I'm good at whining. God is so gracious. And I know it was him. He said, you can pray. It wasn't, you can pray, right? But you can pray. Here you're walking. What are you going to do while you're walking? Mm-hmm. I can pray. I can talk to people. You know what I'm saying? There's a way to connect to the truth that God speaks. So this story showed that, yeah, Elijah was a crazy prophet. In fact, few chapters, well, never mind. His whole story, read it. It's crazy. But there's also a place a couple chapters down where Elijah's, God's going to confront him, and he's not in the mighty wind, and he's not in the earthquake. What's the end? Do you know? The gentle whisper. So let's assume, if he wants to say something audible to me, I'm all in. Right? Clear. But I don't think that's what he wants to say to us. He does not want to say, do this. Mm-hmm. Y'all that have kids, you don't want to tell them every single thing, right? They don't develop unless you teach them you got to say some stuff. But at some point, they've got the vision, right, of what your family's supposed to look like. You can't do that. You can't hit your sister, or you can't, you know, whatever. Not that they don't do it, but they know. So there's a, which I think is backwards to us. That's why we don't think we hear from God. We think it's got to be this kind of running narration in our head. But can you imagine being at work and having a boss that's a running narration in your head? Oh my gosh, like talk about nightmare. I know some of you have had that boss micromanaging. Do you develop as a person? Do you get mature in your job? How much more our life in God, in the kingdom? How much more? So if you don't hear, it's not that he's not speaking, but it might be that he's just letting you do what you do. Because right now, what you're doing, hugging your kid, playing, wrestling with your kid, whatever. That's the other thing. We get a list, right? We got a list in our head of the ways that God would speak to us, and it's always about these massive things. And I think he pokes us about little things. I think most of the time his communication is, you need to rest. Why are you running like this? Sit down. Have you called your mother today? My mom would like that one. It's not a guilt thing, all right? When it's coming from God, right? Those kind of things. my friend is super on my heart. I don't know the number of times that somebody, I have a women's group, and that person's been on my mind. Didn't do anything about it, but that person was on my mind, right, all for a couple days. And sure enough, they text and say, and I'm like, how much does it take to say, hey, you've been on my mind. Is there anything I can be praying about? Or you need to know I'm in the midst. You know what I'm saying? So I want this week for you to assume that God is speaking to you. And I want to say, not because you're special, but I want to say because you're special. You are children of the King. So it's not like special, like, you know what I'm saying? He gave his son so that we could reconnect with God and have a living and active relationship with him. He wants to speak to us. What? He wants to speak to us. So, and he is. And if you don't hear anything, then imagine a look on God's face, which I know we can't see his face, and then he's just smiling. Yeah. Have a good day. And then if there's something in that day he needs you to do, don't you think that he'll point you or poke you? And the more that we get, I don't know if poke's the right word, but you know, the more used to that we get, it's a poke. It's a poke if you don't want to do it. It's a poke. It is, right? Because that's what little brothers do. They keep poking at you. So, yeah, that's not what I'm... That is not the vision. So let's put poke aside and go back to gentle whisper. Very much more scriptural. But you get my point. You get my point, right? He is speaking. And he cares to speak to you because you're his kid. You're his kid. What? You are the child of the King of the universe who sat in the midst of Israel, who speaks and knows that we hear his voice and recognize. And really, all we have to do, which is a lot for us humans, is try to hear. And then step in the way that we think he's taken us. So the Lord somehow spoke to Elijah. I think he whispered it in his own thoughts. That's the other confusing thing, right? Because I just think I'm having a good thought. Boogie boarding, remember? Very good thought. I was brilliant. Stop. Stop. It is the Lord speaking to you. And it's not an independent thing. We're in a body together, right? So if you say, yeah, I'm kind of feeling like God's saying this, and somebody goes, my sense is not that. Let's pray about it. Yeah. Let's figure it out together. Yeah. There's nobody's got, in fact, that's a problem if you got a corner on the market. I was part of a church early on where the pastor thought he was the only one that heard from God. So just that message, what does that do to people wanting to hear what God wants? Yeah. So I feel like we are in a super good place here with people that really love God and really love each other and can hear God for each other. And so that's what I want to encourage you to do this week. Assume God is speaking. Assume that he would speak to you and through you to somebody else. And that's what the community and the kingdom is all about as we grow up in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, how cool that you speak to us. How amazing that you speak to us. Can you point it out to us a little bit, Lord? We want to learn. We want to learn how to hear you speak to us. Can you just kind of prompt us and say, that was me, so that we might get to know the voice of our shepherd. And we'll give you all the glory, and you get all the praise and all the honor, Lord, because our hearts are full of this amazing relationship and this conversation that we get to have with a huge God that cares about the little things in our life. We give it to you. Thank you. Walk with us this week, Jesus. Amen. We're gonna do a song, and I think I missed the offering thing. So, so let me pray for the offering, and then as you want to respond to the Lord through this song, then feel free to do so. Lord, thank you that this church exists, that you set it in motion, that you spoke to the hearts of the folks that started this and are speaking to the hearts of the folks that are here now to be a part of this church. Would you, we just bless this offering, Lord. We give what we recognize comes from you anyway. And Lord, we respond to you in your sweetness. Thank you, God. Amen.